Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. So if you guys are anything like me and you struggle with allergies, raise your hand because I am right there with you. I get super itchy throat, itchy ears, and I sneeze like a crazy woman. And it really does prevent me from wanting to take my daily walks with my husband. But luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. It is designed for serious allergy sufferers. Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, and an itchy nose and sinus congestion and pressure with an ease, which is exactly what I need. So I have been using them anytime that I have allergies, which has been many, many times. I have found that it has definitely helped me so much where I can go outside again and enjoy my day. So if you guys are ready to live life as if you don't have allergies, it is time to live Claritin Clear. It is fast and powerful relief. It's just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed.
I'm sitting there and I feel someone take my hand as aww. I'm weeping in my hand, and I look over and she's holding my hand, and I look over with like tears drilling down my eyes, and she just looks at me. She doesn't even ask me what my name is, and she was like, I don't know you, but we're gonna get through this together.
Welcome back to Happy and Healthy, everybody. I'm your host, Janina Mopola. And if you're watching the YouTube or Spotify, you can see that I'm greeted by some amazing guests. Okay, so we have Angela. We have Ari. Do you prefer to go by Ari?
Ari, yes.
Ari, yes.
Ari.
Ari, yes?
No, she's saying Ari, Ari, yes.
Ari, yes.
We're
Ari,
having some struggles with pronouncing names.
Ari, yes.
Ari, yes.
When did that nickname come about? Okay, Ariel.
Really
and of
good.
Course, Madison Pruitt.
Madison,
we're going to full names.
Yeah, we're going full names.
So this is a fun little collab that we're doing today. If you're new to my page, I post every Tuesday, and my podcast is just Happy and Healthy. But we are joined with Girls Gone Bible.
Hi guys.
Maddie Pruitt.
Woo!
And we're really excited because I reached out to y'all and I was like, we've got to make this a collab. But then you had said you already listened to my podcast beforehand.
I did, yeah. So when it had probably been a year that I was listening to Happy and Healthy, learning so much from you. And I remember when we started Girls Gone Bible, I showed Ari and I was like, there's this girl. She's Christian.
So cute.
I was like, I have so much respect for this girl because she's such a good godly woman and such a good example of what it's like to be a Christian woman. And so I loved you so much already.
Loved in the past tense? I'm just kidding.
No, I love
She's like, and then I met you.
We actually, you wouldn't believe it, we only met last night.
I feel like I've known them my whole life. Yeah. Forever. It was so God-ordained.
We traveled to Texas.
Yeah, thank you guys for doing that.
Of course.
They're moving here, by the way.
Yes.
Yeah, we're speaking it.
My husband's here.
We keep saying that. We're like, we proclaim your husband's here.
Guys, Jesus I'm losing my best friend to Texas.
No, you're coming with her.
I lost mine to Waco, so I feel you. We got on Zoom and like instantly clicked, and then right after that I like texted Maddie and I was like, okay, you're coming on the podcast too, because y'all are best friends, we're best friends. I was like, this is just gonna fit. And so we got dinner last night and we just could not shut up.
No.
Like literally we kept
from the moment we sat down, it's like, tell me everything. Tell me your life story. Tell me everything you've ever done.
And what we realized too is that me and Maddie are so similar.
Yeah. And then we're similar.
And Ari are so similar. And it's so funny. Cool.
It's so cute.
It's amazing.
So this has just been like a long overdue, but y'all are new in this space. So how long have you been doing Girls Gone Bible?
When did we start it?
So we started Girls Gone Bible in May.
Yeah.
I think we posted like our first.
This past May?
Yeah. Recent.
What?
Like the end of May, I believe, was our first video. So I started posting videos on TikTok about the beginning of this year. So only, I think I started right after Christmas. It was like January, and I started posting on TikTok. I had never been like a TikToker at all or posted videos on it, but I started talking about Jesus, and I would read little parts of the Bible, and I would just explain it, and I would just kind of talk about it. And when I saw that they were doing so well and people were engaged. And I've never had like really a social media presence like that. So then when I saw all this happening, and I really was so embarrassed when I first started posting on TikTok about Jesus. I remember the first video I posted, I was freaking out. I was like, this is so embarrassing.
You didn't want to do it though.
I didn't.
What happened was, is you were speaking scripture over me.
Yeah.
And it was changing my life so rapidly. Mm. And I was like, Angela, you need to put this online for everyone to see. You need to change people like you're changing me. That's what happened.
Wow. Yeah. She really encouraged me so much. And I was like, but Ari, that's so like, I know that I love God and I know that I know Jesus, but other people maybe don't, they would never think that I'm qualified to do that. I'm not going to do that. And she's like, you better go on. Like,
come on. That's why you need Jesus. Some good golly best friends.
And she believed that I was capable and that I deserve to go and talk about Jesus like that. And so then it started getting some traction, and I went to Ari and I was like, let's do a podcast. Well, we have a whole thing about it.
Story.
Yeah, there's a whole story. But I was like, do you want to go and do a podcast? And she was like, I've been thinking about it too, the conversations that we're having in private. Mm. Let's go see what happens.
And we had been ministering girls, like the girls in LA around us. And, and they were just like, you guys are really helping us a lot. And we were like, we need to help everyone and get the word out. Yeah.
I love that, because it started from an organic, healthy place.
Yeah.
I think a lot of times, like, people will just start a podcast just for the sake of starting a podcast. Like, it's like the thing to do.
Yeah.
And so a lot of people are like, I want to start a podcast. I'm like, okay, what do you want to talk about? They're like, I have no idea.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not shaming you if you want to do that, but I think it's cool that you guys came from like, okay, we have a message and a story to share, and God was already speaking to you. Mm-hmm. And you were already doing this off camera. Like, I think that's what matters most, is offline.
We talk about that all the time. Like, who you are in private is who you're going to be in public. Exactly. And that's why it's so important off camera, off social media, to be abiding and to be spending time in the word and having those godly conversations. Because then it's like, oh, okay, put a camera on us. Like, nothing's changing. It's not like we're flipping a light switch and all of a sudden, like, we are reading the Bible. Exactly. I love that it started for y'all, like, off camera.
If people aren't already, you know, having that abiding time with Jesus offline, then you get in the public eye and you like freak out.
Oh, totally.
Like, I don't know how to handle this. This is too much. It's like, you've got to know yourself offline first and have a good relationship with God first offline.
Otherwise, absolutely.
The comments will get to you. Like, we all know. Mm-hmm. We've all been in the public 100%. Eye for a bit, and like, those comments, they'll get you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, what you said about how a lot of people just want to start a podcast. We know that podcasts now are like the most oversaturated industry. And me and Ari say it all the time, like, we never wanted to be podcast. We still don't even consider ourselves podcasters. We don't consider, like, we have a podcast because we want to talk about Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we want to talk about the Bible. And so if for some reason Girls Gone Bible were to end, we would not be like, okay, we need a new idea for a podcast. Mm. We'd be like, all right, where are we going to do ministry next?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not about the podcast. Totally. The podcast is a means in which to spread the gospel, and that's all that matters to us.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah.
So before we get more into this, for those watching, we are gonna have two parts.
Yeah.
So one will be on y'all's channel, and then obviously this one on mine. And I want to get y'all's bios in a second. But also, my best friend, she recently released her second book.
I did.
Right here, The Love That Everybody Wants. Give us again, what is this book about? Who's it for? Why? Yeah.
So I started writing this book single, and honestly, just to like, it was therapy for myself. And I was so frustrated and angry because it felt like everybody else was getting married. It felt like everybody else was where I wanted to be. And I was getting angry with the Lord. Like, when is, you know, this going to happen for me?
Yeah.
And feeling like I was the problem. I was like, is there something wrong with me? I began to question myself, question my worth, question my value. And I remember it's when we were living together, and I was in my room and I was crying one night. And it was when the Lord just spoke to me, like, Maddie, you are looking for the right thing in all the wrong places. Like, you're trying to find divinity in humanity. You're trying to find your purpose in a person. You're trying to find someone that will meet every need and longing of your heart and that will make you feel less lonely and more whole. And only I can do that.
Yeah.
And then I began to just like start thriving. I feel like then we started thriving in singleness. I mean, we were living, we literally could have had our own reality. The Holy Spirit did be calling us out. We were thriving a little too much.
Yeah.
But no, we were just so content in the season of singleness that we were in. And we were surrounding ourselves with great community and just building healthy habits, like truly. And so I'm super grateful for that. But I really got to write this book from the vantage point of single and miserable to single and thriving to then meeting Grant. And you know, dating this person and evaluating, is this the person I want to spend the rest of my life with, to then engagement, to then marriage. I finished the book, you know, 2 months after being married and realized the same message applies even within the context of marriage. Yeah, yeah. But the whole heart behind it is just like, what you're looking for is already yours, and it's not found in a spouse. It's not found in a job. It's not found in fame. It's not found in money. It's not found in anything this world can give you. It's only found in Jesus. Mm-hmm. And really tackling like lots of different, you know, cultural norms and phrases and ideology, like, you know, pick me and drive before you buy and, you know, he completes me and all these different things, and really tackling those ideas with biblical truths and principles while also sharing my own testimony. You know, I definitely failed a lot and learned a lot along the way. And so I'm super vulnerable in this book. It was really scary, which you have pushed me so much. Janine has pushed me so much, and just like being vulnerable and knowing that people connect with your weaknesses and people connect when you're like, hey, I messed up. Like I was not perfect in this area, and it's through failing that like the Holy Spirit met me where I was at and, you know, gave me the strength to keep going and called me out and called me higher. And so I'm super honest and vulnerable in this book, and, you know, talk about all the things from, you know, finding confidence and identity in Christ, to how to date in purity, to what to look for in a spouse, to how to do singleness well, you know, and all the things. So it's so really good. Fun. I'm so excited. So it's out.
I'm so proud of you. I've been reading it. I'm like 6 chapters in, and like, it's so cool even like hearing new stories that I haven't heard from you. And yeah, your vulnerability is like, it's so amazing, because again, that's how people connect, is like, oh, she's not Miss Perfect person. Like maybe all of us can portray online. It's like, no, we've all got our crap. We've got our things, our baggage, our stories. And it's just to show people like, God redeems, God saves. Absolutely. God, this is the reason why you have a book, is because God set you free and he showed you there's a better way.
Absolutely.
And I think that's also what we can all bond over, is we were in darkness and then God was like, no, there's a better way. And then he opened our eyes. 100%. And that's why we all do what we do now, because we want people to see there is a better way.
A better way.
100%. Let me tell you, this book, I'm not a reader. I don't read. I'll read 2 chapters and then I'm over it. I started reading your book, and I'm not kidding you, I finished it in 2 days. It was like God was speaking to me. You had me laughing. You had me crying. You had me looking up to God. It makes me want to cry as I say this, being like, thank you, Jesus. This book came into my life at such a perfect time, and it is going to free so many girls and women. You are an example to women, young girls, and thank you, Jesus, for you. Because
for both of you, truly.
For both of you guys. But this, this book is, it's so incredible, and it helped me so much. So thank you.
Y'all are the best. I did not ask him to say any of this, and y'all are amazing. Thank you. Yeah, it's just the Holy Spirit, and this book is saturated in prayer, and Janina stood by my side through a lot of it. I'm just like, hey, let's pray over this thing. And I got off social media for a month, and I was like, hey, I'm just gonna fast and pray. And that when people read this book, it's not my words that move them, but it's the Holy Spirit that moves them, and it takes them to the word and the book that will change their life, which is the Bible. And so anyways, but yeah, love it. It's fun.
So proud of you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Listen, guys, Janine and I have been married for 6 months, and the reason why it is a beautiful marriage, it's because of Thrive Market. Thrive Market, thank you so much for sponsoring this episode. We genuinely love you so much. Because of Thrive Market, we're able to save so much time through ordering all our grocery and household essentials through the app or website. Guys, it's just a huge stress relief. And you guys also know I have gut issues, like really, really, really bad. So finding, you know, food with top quality ingredients is super crucial for me. And Thrive Market not only does that, but they restrict over 1,000 harmful ingredients like artificial flavors, high fructose corn syrup, and a lot more. And guys, when if your parents and you need to find organic kid snack, they have low sugar alternatives and high protein essentials. Jenny and I are also training for our marathon, so it is so beneficial that we can find all of our protein options and snacks through Thrive Market. And guys, save time and money and shop Thrive Market today. Go to thrivemarket.com/healthy for 30% off your order, plus a free $60 gift. That's T-H-R-I-V-E, market.com/healthy, thrivemarket.com/healthy.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with the King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Stories because yeah, obviously we got dinner last night,
yeah,
and we went into it, and like y'all's stories are powerful,
so good,
yeah. And they're so good, and I think like my followers have heard my story enough, and we'll share mine on y'all's podcast, definitely. But I want to hear more of like y'all stories of like how you came to know Jesus, why Jesus.
I grew up with a mom who's very religious. She loved Jesus. I told you guys a little bit about this, so I'm Albanian, and back when my mom was a little girl, she was living in communism, and they weren't allowed to practice Christianity. They weren't allowed to have Bibles. So the only Jesus my mom knew was through her mom. Mm. And so my mom, she grew up, my mom just basically being with her siblings in a house, hush-hush, learning about Jesus, our Savior, the man who was sent by God to die for our sins and rose again 3 days later. But that's the extent that she knew. She had never read the Bible or anything.
Wow.
So I grew up kind of in the same situation, going to Catholic school and all that, but I never read the Bible, but I knew Jesus, and I had a relationship with him, and I was really spiritual as a kid. And when I got into like middle school and high school, I started to act out a little bit. I started being an extremely rebellious kid. Mm. And when I was in high school, I started to engage in like drinking and going to parties and just like a lot of things at a young age. And then throughout that, I barely had a spiritual life because, as you guys know, alcohol will cloud your spiritual life.
And it's
it's really hard to hear God when you are under the influence of anything.
Yeah.
And then so as I got older, I would like be in and out of the faith, in and out of my relationship with God. And then when I got to college, I started to experience extreme anxiety. Mm. I started to have panic attacks for the first time in my life. Mm. I told you guys last night, fears, phobias. I couldn't drive on the highway because I thought I was going to get hurt. I couldn't be on a fourth floor balcony because I thought I was going to be pushed off. I don't know, like random fears. We know what the enemy does. Like, we know that the number one way that he keeps us down is through fear.
Yep.
Because when you are stuck in fear, you cannot do anything for the kingdom of God. And so I was just plagued with all this. It's so much spiritual warfare, but I did not know what was happening to me. I thought that I was weird. And at the time, too, it wasn't like as much of a conversation as it is now about mental health. So I truly thought that I was alone in it.
Wow.
And so the only thing I knew to do, the only thing that made me feel better, was self-medicating with alcohol. Mm. And I was never even like a big partier at all. I literally just wanted to feel better. I wanted them to quiet down. Like, I wanted the OCD, obsessive compulsive thoughts to calm down. And so I started self-medicating with alcohol. And at that point, zero relationship with Jesus. Mm. I mean, I was gone. I was so far from him. I didn't know him. The people that I had around me were not good. It was just all about, I was so engulfed in darkness that I feel so sorry for myself during that time, because I was just, I was scared, I was fearful, and all I wanted was to feel better. And then so a God-sent angel into my life, my mom met my pastor Socrates in Florida, and he started calling me when I was in California, and he would call me every day, and I would tell him what was going on, and he would just pray for me, and he would encourage me to pray for myself, and he's the one who taught me how to really pray for myself.
Because
throughout my life, my mom covered me in prayer.
Yeah.
She prayed for me my whole life, but I would call her to pray for me. I didn't know how to pray for myself. And then through Socrates ministering to me and like kind of discipling me, he would just be like, pray, pray. And I started praying relentlessly for myself, on my knees every day praying. And it took a while. God didn't do it overnight. But on Thanksgiving 2019, I was 23 years old, and I picked up my last drink, put it down, and I never picked it up again.
Wow, praise God.
And it was so supernatural. It was so by the strength. It was certainly not by my strength or not my might, because anybody else in the position that I was in would have had to go to therapy or a program or something, some type of help. I put it down, and I came into alignment with God that it was done. it was done. Mm-hmm. He had been working on me. It didn't happen overnight because I was praying for a while. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, when the time was right, when I was ready, when it was right for him, we came into agreement and I stopped. And then it was like for the next year, I was healing. My body was healing. My mind was healing. My spiritual life was like coming alive again. And I developed a beautiful relationship with Jesus. And he was pursuing me so hard. I was listening to sermons. I was listening to worship music. I started journaling to Jesus all of a sudden. Like, I would just be like, dear Jesus, all day, just talking to him all day. And then, but when my life really changed was when I went into like a total isolation season. I went through a breakup. And it was
it's
the
always the breakup.
It's always the breakup.
Well, listen. Well, yeah, glow ups in Jesus' name, yes, you know?
They work though.
Well, it was the first time because I was with somebody for 2 years and I love the guy, but it wasn't, I knew it wasn't the one, and it was the first time that because I had heard God's voice my whole life, but I wasn't always obedient to it. And I didn't even necessarily know it was God's voice. Yeah. I thought maybe it was my parents' voice in my head or just like my moral compass telling me what to do. But it was the first time that I actively went against my flesh, went against my own will to pursue God's. Mm. And it was the first time where I said, I'm going to go completely against what is familiar and comfortable and good for me, what I think is good for me, and I'm going to do what you're asking me to do, and I'm going to lay it down.
So good.
I laid it down, year of isolation. I was living in my new place for the first time, living alone, living in my new place. And I told you guys last night, I had a Bible next to my bed, and I loved it. I didn't know what was inside, but I loved it. I held it in such it high cute. Regard. Yeah. I would, like, touch it sometimes, like, I love you, Jesus. Because I thought that was enough.
I'm not going to read about you, but I love you.
Exactly. I didn't even know, like, I didn't know the word. I didn't know what was in it. And I knew the gospel by hearing it, by being in a Catholic church, you know? And then one day, I finally opened the Bible, and I had gotten a study Bible, and I opened it, and I opened it to John. And for the first time in my life, the veil was torn down. Mm. My eyes were open. I saw the truth. And in an instant, it was like truly in an instant, I loved God, I loved people, and I loved the Bible. Mm-hmm. And I could never be the same again. Yep. And I was reading throughout John, and I remember feeling like, my whole life, in the best way possible, was a lie. Everything that I thought I knew was a lie, and I had the truth in front of me. I had come home to the truth. I was free, and I was like just reading all throughout, just reading the gospel for the first time, being like, for God so loved the world, he sent his only son that we should not perish but have everlasting life. And then when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody gets to the Father except through me. And I had finally made sense that he is the only way. Christianity is the only way. Everything else that we think it is not the way, and you will not get there except through Jesus. Yeah. And then when he says the truth will set you free, I finally put it together that Jesus, the word, God, he is the truth. This is why I'm free. This is why I feel free, because I've received him in this way. And I just reading, that's why we're so passionate about the Bible and why we call it Girls Gone Bible, because
so good.
I can't ever go back to not reading the word. It's my life. I go one day without reading the word and it is very messed up.
Yeah. We were talking about that earlier. I'm like, my husband and I, we can't even talk without reading, being in our word
100%.
First.
100%.
I'm a rump. I am mean. I am selfish. Yeah. I'm like,
impatient. I feel like you're moody. I'm mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mean. You're moody. You're an emotional one. Moody and mean. Yeah. Who are you without Jesus? Moody and mean.
Literally.
It's so true.
God, that's the power of the Bible.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool because, you know, it really took like one person in your life. Like, that's the power of one person. Like, imagine if we were that one person for somebody in our lives. Like, Socrates. I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, I'm like, so whatever you say, yes.
Socrates. But, like, he prayed for you, and he taught you how to pray. And, like, I had a mentor in my life do that for me. And it takes one person to open your eyes, open your heart. And then they point you to the Bible. And, I mean, I'm just seeing so many stories because the Bible is powerful. They read the Bible, and their eyes are open. The veil has been torn, whatever. Yeah. And they're like, oh, my gosh. And God reveals himself to the person in the Bible because it says the Bible is alive and active today. And it is. It still will. Yeah. It is. It always will be. And so it's just really cool seeing that. And you're so like, I don't know, there's something about her, right? She's so angelic and like at peace, and you're so calm. And like, I always felt that energy through you guys on your podcast. You guys just love Jesus. And like, despite what anybody says, the comments, whatever, like,
we are sitting with you guys in the flesh, and we know you guys love Jesus. You carry the
Holy
Spirit.
You hunger and thirst for righteousness. Like, truly, I think of that, you know, Matthew 5 verse. It's like, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you see that. Like, you guys are filled. Like, you are filled. You're not striving or searching or proving or trying to find that in something else. You're like, he has fully met every need and every desire, and he set me free. And it's just so beautiful. It's beautiful to see. It's just like, even like, we went home and like, we were just like talking, it's like encouraging to just like see two people just hungry for more of Jesus, like even asking us questions like, what do you think about this, what do you think about that? And I love that about you guys. Like, you want to grow and you're hungry to like be the best that you can be in Jesus, and I just love that.
We, so good.
We love him so much. There's no denying that. I think too, that's why, like, with the pot, we're just like, we're learning. And we just know that the basis of it is how much we love Jesus. Yeah. And so after that, we're not, because when we started it, we were so, it was a lot. It was very heavy. Thank God we have each other, because I told Ari the other day, like, this would feel really, really heavy if I was alone, but because I have you,
totally,
it's less that I have to carry.
I love you so much.
We cry all day together.
We cry. That's all we do. We just cry and read the Bible.
Seriously. And so, but like we, and so, but because it's all about Jesus, it's like, I don't like who I don't, as long as I'm doing what I need to do and actively pursuing Jesus all day, every day, which is truly what we do. Like, the podcast will take care of itself. Yeah. We don't do anything for it. Yeah. We don't try. Yeah. We don't think. We don't like plan. We don't plan. Literally the week of, we pray and we say, Jesus, like, put it on our hearts. What do you want us to talk about? And we'll think of something. Identity, fear, prayer. You know what I mean? And then he'll give us the scripture to read. And
So good. Yeah, letting the Lord just anoint it and carry
so
it.
Good.
That's so good. Thank you for sharing.
Of course.
Yeah.
Okay. Hero.
Yeah. So I would say that I always loved God, but the problem was, is I was so dependent upon myself that I didn't know him. I didn't grow up in a Christian family, so I didn't know to lean on him or how the Holy Spirit dwells within you and can help you and free you. And so I would say that I lived my life very with an emptiness inside of me. I had chronic depression. Mm. I was lost, and I had put my identity into everything but God. Mm-hmm. And so God had brought me through a season where I was completely heartbroken to the point where I couldn't even go from the bed to the shower. I was completely isolated, had no identity, no purpose. I was lost. And so I just remember going into this church and getting on my hands and knees and just bleeding out everything and being like, God, I hate this. Why is this happening? Like, I am so lost. And I just could hear the Lord being like, knowing why this is going to happen isn't going to change you, but knowing me will.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amen. That's a bar.
And in that moment, because it was a course of like 5 months where I just was struggling and trying to depend on myself and get through it. And the thoughts were just so overbearing, and I couldn't handle it anymore. Like, truly, I couldn't see the light at the end of the tunnel, and I didn't think I was going to make it through. And my family and friends didn't think I was going to make it through either.
There were moments that I was really concerned.
Yeah, it was a very scary time. But when I saw what God was doing in my life, when I finally submitted to him, I knew he's a God of compassion. And so I knew I just had to be still. And I knew, and I just want to express too that when I finally submitted to him, it wasn't that he took the pain away. Mm-hmm. It was so crucial that he kept me in that pain, because it truly did develop me into the woman that I am. And I wouldn't be able to sit here and be vulnerable and speak my truth. Mm-hmm. And it really helped me find him. He didn't get me through the pain, but he was with me through it.
Right.
And then in those moments, that's truly when I found him. Mm-hmm. And it freed me. He has changed my life. Mm-hmm. And that's why I am so relentless with helping girls and people, because I was someone who knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about God. I didn't grow up. I mean, my whole life, I'm just like trying to get through everything on my own. I can do it. I can get through this. So I lived a life of truly being just feeling so empty and depressed and lost. And I was like, is this it? Is this what my life is going to be like?
Yeah.
I mean, this can't be it, right? And when I found God and found that
our identity is in him and not my whole life. I'm like putting my identity into men, into my career. And God, he changed my life. And I just love him so much. Amen. He changed my life, you guys. And yeah, that's my story.
It's so good.
Yeah.
I love your vulnerability inspires me.
Thank you so much.
Like, it inspires me. No, truly. It's so beautiful. Like you, I mean, you were joking earlier about that she wears her heart on her sleeve. But I'm just like, that is what is going to connect with so many people and so many people that are listening right now that like are just in that really dark place that don't feel the light at the end of the tunnel and are truly asking, like, is there more to life? Like, I don't know if I can do this anymore.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there are many listening who have had suicidal thoughts or in such deep depression that feel hopeless. Yeah. And, like, just hearing, like, I think about that Revelation verse. It's like, we overcome by the power of the blood and by the word of our testimony. Yep. It's by the blood of Jesus and it's by the word of our testimony that people experience freedom and overcome the darkness and the lies of the enemy. And I think sharing our story and sharing our testimonies like bring true freedom to people. Absolutely. And so thank y'all so much for
and I just remember being in church and being like, God, who do you want me to be? Where do you want me to go? Like, what do you want from me? And I had to be so patient. And I love in your book, like, the waiting, the way you have to be patient and wait. And I just prayed for what I wanted. I prayed for the friendships. Shortly after that, he brought me my best friend, who I call my angel. She saved my life. She saved my life. And she introduced me to the Bible. And then we started reading Bible together. Aww. And that, what you said earlier, how the Bible changed your life, that is the truth. And that is what freed me.
I love that you spoke to that, because I think one of the biggest questions, like, I at least get asked, and I'm sure you do too. Mm-hmm. Like, people see Janine and I together all the time and they're like, where do I find like a best friend like that? Like, how do I find, you know, someone that will challenge me in the word and call me higher and push me closer to Jesus? And I think a lot of people are really hungry for that.
Yeah. People ask us all the time.
Yes, and I think there's an epidemic of loneliness and isolation. I mean, I was isolated for a good bit. I feel like I relate to y'all's stories. I have so many different, like, segments where I'm like, oh, I felt that too. Like,
that's how God works.
But God also, like, I know the enemy can isolate you, but God can use isolation a lot. Because, like, it's in those lonely moments. You can meet God so much in the loneliness because, like, you're by yourself and then it's just you and your Bible. And you're like, God, who are you? I had an exact moment. Lived alone, went through a really bad breakup, same thing. And that was when the Lord just spoke to me. And then I met Maddie shortly after that. Yeah. And like, I think those kingdom friendships are people that you've got to pray for. And then, but sometimes God just blesses you with them. Like, I didn't even know I needed a Maddie in my life until God was like, here you go, you need a Maddie.
Yeah.
And I'm sure you guys have this similar story of like, you didn't know it until you got it.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So for a while I had been walking with God kind of alone. Like, I'm always, I go to church like 3 times a week. Like, I'll go anywhere that they're preaching the Bible. Like, I don't care. But for a long time, I had only friends that wanted to be believers, were kind of believers. I have so many friends of different religions and who are non-believers. But I felt like every friend that I had, I was always pouring into. I didn't necessarily feel like I had a friend, like a girl my age, like one of my girlfriends to pour into me. I have my mom, I have my pastors, I have mentors, but like, I didn't really have anyone that I felt could pour into me. And I thought that that was okay. I was like, that's okay. That's, I have enough to give other people, that I don't really need anybody to do that for me. I had no idea that I needed Ari.
Yeah.
And even if she wasn't like necessarily like, you know, ahead of me in the faith or whatever, like, she is able to, I always say this, because Ari is so good at expressing herself and she so wears her heart on her sleeve, I tend to like suffer in silence. I will, like, we talked about a little bit,
Maddie's like, yep,
we will oftentimes pretend like everything is okay because we want it, but for me at least, like, I want it to be okay. So
you
want to
have that image and you want other people to see you as that, but it's so true, like, shame spreads in secrecy and sin festers in isolation and when you keep things in the dark. But we lie to ourselves and tell ourselves like, we can't let anybody in, we can't tell people.
I want to be happy so bad sometimes. I'm like, I'm gonna like basically put it in a box, put it over here and like live outside of it, like I'm not even gonna touch it. And but Ari's the only person, and I can fool everybody, like I really can. Ari's the one person who will look at me and be like, what's up?
Maddie's like, how are you? And I'm like,
instantly last night I'm like, how's your heart? And she's like, well, how am I, how is my heart?
I don't know.
She's like, I don't know, like, wait, let me have a second.
It is rare. But you need those people, like, genuinely be like, how are you?
She's
everyone's like, how are you? And you're like, I'm good, okay, good, bye.
And then the follow-up of like, how's your heart? Okay, why? Like, why are you good? We've, like, why are you Jenny, not good? Like, yeah.
Jenny's like, why? Like, yeah. I don't know.
She, like, keep trying to get to the root, into the root, into the root. It's so
important. Yeah. And it's important, too, because I during that time, I was meeting friends, but they thought I was losing my mind because they weren't. They weren't Christian. So I just kept praying, please bring me a godly friend like myself. Mm. And it's so important to have godly friendships that you can pray for, that when you're down, you can say, hey, can we just pray for each other? Can we just read the word together? It's so important to have those godly friendships.
Yeah. James 5:16. I mean, literally confess and pray with each other. That's how we experience healing. Like, how crazy is that? That scripture literally tells us, like, pray and confess to one another. And that is where you experience healing. Exactly. Yes. And it's so true. It's like when you bring things into the light and you find another godly, you know, believer to be like, hey, pray over me. That is where truly we start feeling and experiencing healing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's one of the most powerful things about having a God-fearing, you know, friend and believer is just like, man, accountability, but also a safe place for confession of like, hey, I'm believing this lie right now. Like, I'll literally just text Janine sometimes and be like, hey, I'm believing this lie. And she's like, why are you believing this lie? Where did it come from? And then she'll just literally call me and be like, let me pray over you. And I just think that's so powerful to, like, even before it turns into like a sin or a belief, it's like, even at the thought level of being like, here's a thought that I'm having and I'm gonna confess it to you and like pray over me.
When I confessed something to you last night and she literally made me shake hands with her, she's like, you're never doing that again. Look at me in the face and shake my hand. I was like, okay, yes.
Wow, that's so good. That's so good.
But like, I think I was just gonna say, like, okay, I think there's a moment where you can be isolated with the Lord, but you can't stay there. So I think it's like important to have your quiet times and have moments with the Lord where you're really just like, God, I need you. Because I think that is the tough part about being a Christian female, or just a Christian in general, is you're going to have to shed some people. And like, I've shed people. I'm sure we've all been through that. And it's a weird balance of like, I love them. I'm not trying to be mean and judgmental, but I need to be challenged. I need to be called higher. And so it's like kind of going into like a hiding for a bit and then eventually being like, okay, God, I need people. I need someone to like pull me out of this and then now do this life with me, which is what it seems like we've all found, which is so amazing, because you can't stay in isolation. Like, there's no way we can continue to grow, do this life without accountability, friendships, people calling us higher, calling us out. Like, it is literally make or break.
I always say God wants nothing more for us to have friendships. Like, we are called to be in communion with people. So I honestly just pray for friendships. Like, pray. I was so relentless with prayer with my friendships. That was the number one thing I needed, and he brought me it so fast.
And we have the funniest story of meeting as
We didn't hear this yesterday.
It was okay, so we met on a job. We met on a modeling job, and I take it away. What were you go? It was Ari's birthday.
Oh yeah, we were both at a job. It was my birthday. I was down bad. I mean, I was getting my makeup done and I had cried it off 4 times. And I was just like, I couldn't even get through it. And I just had a mental breakdown. Thank God I did, because if I wasn't as vulnerable as I was, I don't think that we would have connected like we did.
I mean, so I walked in that day and I saw Ari sitting, and she was, and I saw her crying and I saw her not well. And I, like, I'm a people person, but I'm also like not that extroverted. Like, I don't typically just go talk to random people, but I saw her crying. So I went, and I don't know why, obviously the Holy Spirit was like, go talk to this girl. So I went and I sat next to her and I was like,
no, you didn't even say anything. I'm sitting there and I feel someone take my hand as I'm weeping hand, and I look over and she's holding my hand, and I had to double look at her.
Makes me
want
to cry.
I
know,
I'm like, oh my God, hold my hand.
Yeah, hold mine right now. Like, should we all just?
Because you don't find that in LA. And so I look over with like tears drilling down my eyes, and she just looks at me. She doesn't even ask me what my name is, and she was like, I don't know you, but we're gonna get through this together. I'm thinking to myself, is this an angel or is this real life right
She's
now?
She's like poking her. Are you real?
Are you gonna disappear? Especially in the industry y'all are in. Like, so, I mean, for people that don't know, you guys are both actresses and you're in Hollywood. You still live in LA.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that's very difficult. You know, I lived out there, but I wasn't like in it like y'all.
Yeah, the thing about us is like we are we're in the industry, but we're not in the scene.
We live in a bubble.
We live in a bubble of us and a few other Christian friends, honestly, and like we don't go out. We don't really mm-hmm. do. So we're not necessarily in the scene, but we have been. Yeah. We've seen a lot.
And yeah. it's tough even driving around the streets of LA. The yeah, energy, we're like really, tired and
yeah, it's dark. It's yeah. a little scary, and you really like how you said earlier, like you can't live in isolation mm-hmm. forever. And mm-hmm. I know when I went through my isolation period, it's because I had a lot to break off. God had a lot of people to remove from my yeah. life. Mm. And I was always somebody who really struggled letting go of people. Like I come from a family and a culture where we're ride or die. Mm. Like we yeah. don't let go. We don't give up. And while that's beautiful, it's not realistic. And mm. I don't think it's biblical either. Yeah, because healthy, God, yeah. no. And so when I really stepped into my walk with God, I really had to start letting people go. Mm. And what's the beautiful thing about living with God and like working with the Holy Spirit is that I've been able to let go of friendships very kindly and in a way that doesn't end up in flames or doesn't end up in drama or anything bad.
That's
I
great.
Think sometimes just there's like a natural separation that will happen when you let God do his work within yeah. your relationships yeah. that doesn't have to be dramatic mm-hmm. or have tension or anything like that. And I've gotten really content that like I love so many people and I have so many friends. I don't hang out with that many people on a regular basis. I'm too busy with God. Like we are so like,
I'm yeah, too busy with God. Like, that's going to be my new bio. Full I'm schedule. Too busy with God. So don't even bother
that. I just like, I don't necessarily have time for things that are not godly. Like yeah. I can't compromise my totally. Time to like entertain things that I know aren't good for me and aren't good for my relationship with God.
We talk a lot about that. We're like, we don't have anything in common now. We go to
that's
dinner.
So true though.
It's, yeah. You have to be honest about it because when you really get in the faith, like you will yeah. not have a
there's
lot of
a
things in common.
There's a natural drift that just happens and yeah. it sucks when you feel it because yeah. Yeah. I have people in my life where I'm like, ooh, like we used to be besties
yeah.
or like people that you know you would party with or whatever and then you grow they grow or maybe they're stagnant and you just start to feel this mm-hmm. and you're like I can't do anything about this like
yeah.
I'm trying to change my life and yeah. grow my faith and like yeah. if they're not there's just going to be a natural rift and
it's true
it's not something to like you know condemn them about and it's no. hopefully it's hopefully a way that they feel called higher or convicted or like okay obviously they're going on a better path like I want that
yeah.
and that's kind of the goal you know
yeah.
so
yeah
but it's hard when you feel that rift sometimes because you're yeah. like you don't want to make them feel like I'm better than you because mm-hmm. that's not what we're saying
yeah. yeah
but they'll sometimes maybe perceive it as that and you're yeah. like no like I'm doing this because like I feel called to like yeah. I'm supposed to do this
yeah.
So,
yeah
that's tough
I think there's definitely a way to go about things that's really be having so much compassion for people that mm-hmm. they don't feel judged by you, but also being truthful to where they feel inspired. Mm-hmm. I think it's asking God for wisdom and for totally. Just his spirit to, because I like while the spirit of God will offend people, I also think it will inspire
yeah,
so
absolutely.
Many people. So whenever I am in a situation where I don't want the other person to feel judged, I just ask God to come in and I lead with kindness. And I think you just have to have an air about you that isn't judgmental.
Yeah.
And people, you know, and like you can reach people better right. that way.
It's a beautiful thing. I've had the same friend since I was just a kid. And when they saw how much God was moving in my life, it's brought them all to God.
Yeah.
And
that's
it is
amazing.
The most
that is amazing.
Beautiful
yeah.
thing. Yeah. Mm. It's beautiful how you can bring people to God.
Well,
yeah.
that's the best way to spread the gospel.
Yeah.
It's not by, you know, just sitting there and reciting scripture to people. It's living in
living
a way
it out.
That
yeah.
inspires
and
they're obey
watching
the
you.
Commands that you're
yeah.
reading about.
Yeah,
I
exactly.
think that's the thing is like there's so many people and we all can be like hypocritical in our own ways because we're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But I do think that there are so many, you know, people who call themselves Christians that live a totally different lifestyle.
Yeah.
And I think
yep.
it's confusing to other people. Like
yeah.
I know of a lot of people that are like, I'm not religious. I'm not into the faith. And I'll ask why. I'll be like, you know, why? And it always goes back down to like church hurt or people
yeah.
that really misled them or showed them, you know. And so it's just like it's hard. And I think too when we're asking questions, I love that you kind of spoke to this, but just like not compromising.
Yeah.
Because when I look at our culture today, I'm just like there's so many people that are just like constantly compromising, you know,
absolutely.
Their faith or their values or even like hanging around people that they shouldn't be hanging around. Like
right.
what was something that like for y'all was like has been so huge and just not compromising.
First of all, I'll say this. It is being a Christian and really living right is the hardest thing I've ever had to do.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm being completely vulnerable and honest here,
mm-hmm.
my walk with God has been nothing. It is not an easy ride. And I am still learning every single day. Yeah. But yes, you really do have to live right. You cannot have one foot in and one foot out. And the conviction that I feel is like, whoa. And it's a good thing.
Yeah,
I mean, you and I were talking about this last night. It's a beautiful thing. And I love what you say in your book. You don't feel shame. You repent it. You say it and you move on.
Yeah.
That touched me in a way because I'm someone who lives with a lot of shame when I do wrong. I can't let it go. And I sit there and it's only going to keep you in chains, like you said in your book. And so, but yeah, it's really about living right and like doing right by God. And it's been such a walk with you and I. Every day we're learning and with our photos and our past and the sins. And and that's why I give people grace, because it is hard, especially when you didn't grow up as a Christian. You're like learning and some things I'll do and I'll be like, oh my gosh, like I did that, but I didn't know. And it's just you just every day you try harder and harder and keep your eyes on God. And
I just want to speak to that really fast, because I love that you mentioned that, like, it wasn't easy for you, because I think that is something that's unspoken that not a lot of people talk about, because you know, we see the other side of like following Jesus is so amazing. And it is literally the best thing I've ever done in my life. But anyone would be lying if this is not a difficult path. And like, God never said it would be easy anyway. That's right.
Yeah. Like, what is the verse? It's like, pick up your cross and deny yourself and follow me.
It's literally, we're in a spiritual battle. Our flesh and our spirits are at war with each other. It's Romans 7 of like, why do I do the things I don't want to do? We do them over and over and over. I want to do the right thing, but I don't know how to. But like, when you die to flesh, you abide in Jesus and you allow the Holy Spirit, he is the reason why we're able to do this. Like, none of us could do this in our own strength. Absolutely no way in heck I could do this, but literally through the grace of God and his Holy Spirit, that is why we can do this. But I like your vulnerability, because not a lot of people hear that side of like, this is hard. And it is hard. Maddie and I talk about this all the time. We text each other all the time. Like, Maddie, I'm like being so tempted. I want to go do this. And she's like, you better not.
Yeah.
But she calls me out and she helps me, because I mean, my flesh is like cave, like compromise, and friends, and the Holy Spirit's like, nope, don't do it.
Same.
Yeah, well, that's why scripture says we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with us. Mm-hmm. For in all points, he was tempted, though without sin, but he was tempted. He understands us. He has compassion for us. I think what really helps with the compromising of your values and your beliefs is knowing why you believe what you believe. Because for a long time, I would really go back on the things that I thought I believed, because I didn't understand why. I thought I couldn't do this and this and that because, you know, the Christian said that I can't and church said that I can't. But it was until I realized that sin, the wages of sin are death. Sin separates us from God.
That's
the problem. It's not because God thinks we're bad people and we're bad girls and we're bad this and we're whatever. It's because it separates us from him. And we want to live a life that's as close to God as humanly possible, so that when we get to heaven, we can live the way that we're supposed to. But on earth, like, we want to be close to him. And every time, I know what helps me is that when I do fall into sin, when I do give into temptation, and I feel that shame and I feel that guilt and I feel that separation from God, that feels like hell. That's what it feels like. It's always a reminder. I am good about not having too much shame. I repent and I do what I need to do and I get right with God, but I don't let it fester, because all he wants is for me to come back into his presence. You know, I don't need to stay in that situation. I don't need to stay in that guilt, because shame, all it does is hold you back and hold you down, and shame will actually keep you in the dark. And it'll keep you sinning. A lot of people who are addicted to drugs or in bad situations, they never get out because they feel, what's the point? They have so much shame that it's like, who am I to even think that I can get out of this bad situation? And that's all the enemy speaking to you and keeping you there. But that's why God says, like, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and I will set you free.
That's so good. I heard this acronym for shame once, and it stands for self-hatred at my expense. And I was like, man, that's so powerful, because that's what it is. But if you go even all the way back to the very beginning of time, Genesis, it's like, like, what did the, like, how did it all start? It all went down with a lie and a deception from the enemy, which then gave birth to sin, which then gave birth to shame. And you see this pattern of, like, it starts with a lie, it starts with a temptation, it starts with this deception. Hey, there's good outside of God. Hey, there's freedom in the world. Hey, you can find your identity in worldly things. And it's like you fall for that lie, you give in to sin, and then it doesn't lead to freedom. It doesn't lead to liberation. It doesn't lead to confidence. It doesn't lead to identity or healthy relationships. It only leads to shame. It only leads to hiding and covering up. And now this innocence has been stolen, and now you feel separated from God and people. And I think that's why it is so important to talk about, because, man, having, like, abiding in God's word and doing life in community will help you fight off that initial state when those lies come and those temptations come. It's like you got to be abiding in the word daily, like, not just like, oh, a church service on Sunday. It's like daily abiding. And I love, like, you're so passionate about abide, like your abide tribe, abiding. It's like you got to be abiding, because as John 15:5 talks about, like, if you remain in me, like, if you apart from me, you can do nothing. But, like, in me, like, you can bear fruit, like, you can do all things. And it's like you're only gonna find what you're looking for in him, truly.
Well, the thing, I think the harsh reality is, like, there's literally a fight for our souls every single day in the spiritual realm. We don't see it, we may not feel it, but, like, we scroll on Instagram or TikTok, and, like, we're getting fed so many things. We're getting fed lies and be this way, act this way, talk this way, dress this way, do this, cuss this, watch this music. Like, we're feeding all these things, our these images, these videos, these lyrics, and it's affecting our spirits, whether we want to admit it or not. I think so many people, they're like, no, I just listen to the rhythm, I just like the beat. And I'm like, girl, you're putting messages in your brain. And there's a fight for us. And that's why it's like, it is so important to put on the armor of God, Ephesians 6, every day.
Every day.
This is a battle. And we, and I'm not trying to scare people, but, like, we look what's happening in the world. Like, this is getting real. Like, Jesus is coming back. He's coming back for his bride. We're living a revelation. We're living out the Bible. And, like, we can't know how to armor up, how to fight back, how to stand up for truth if we don't know where is the truth. How do we fight back? What is the armor of God? Like, the Bible is everything. It is so, it is so pivotal in this moment, because, like, Jesus is coming back. And, like, we've got to be ready for
that. We
got to
be armored up.
And the enemy is real. And I knew nothing about the enemy before I met Angela. I knew nothing about rebuking the enemy, you know? And I dealt with such severe depression. I truly didn't think I was ever going to come out of it. And I can tell you that I have a peace in my heart that I can't even explain, because I wear the word of God every day, and I rebuke the enemy. And when I get those really bad intrusive thoughts, I know what to do now that I know that the enemy, he doesn't have power over us. And it's important to know that.
It's important to know that he doesn't have power, but scripture does say that we have an enemy, the devil, and he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for who he could devour. And so stand firm in the faith, because we have brothers all around us going through the same thing that we are. It's real. It's all the time. And we churches, a lot of churches in LA, for example, you guys, you've been to some, there's a lot of them that deny the supernatural for some reason. And
That's a thing.
It is. It is. And I think that it's because, I don't know, maybe it's easier to digest. I don't know. But I'm really passionate about bringing the supernatural back into church, because we have we are spiritual beings, and we all have such an inclination towards the spiritual. That's why there's the rise of New Age and tarot cards.
Everyone's hungry for it.
Of course, our bodies
are made for eternity. We were made for eternity.
And so by the church denying it, they're denying Jesus. They're denying the gospel. If the spirit of God raised Jesus from the dead, and that spirit lives within us, like, if we're pretty spiritual, you better not ignore it, because there's a whole spiritual realm of battle happening.
Fighting over your souls. And I love that you spoke to that Second Peter verse of, like, the enemy prowling around like a roaring lion. But I love that it says looking for someone. It doesn't say some group or some friendship. Or it says someone. And I think that's why isolation is dangerous. Like, even taking it again back to Genesis, how did the enemy come after Eve? Like, when she was alone, when she was by herself. That's I think that's why it is so, so, so important to do life with godly community, do life with people, because, man, it is like the enemy is afraid to come after you when you're in a pack. Like, when you have your people, like, you got more protection around you. But it's dangerous to be trying to fight, you know, in the spiritual realm by yourself.
He's so sneaky. He's so sneaky. He's so deceitful. He always gives a half truth or a compromise or a little lie or a little, like, just try this, or don't you want to go back to that, or don't you remember when that was really fun? And I remember, like, in my story, like, I'm just relating to yours of, like, I think you mentioned this earlier, how you you thought like the church was just trying to like put all these rules on you and religion. And it's just so crazy because like when I mean, I grew up Christian and I kind of like did my own thing for a good bit there. And I look back to that and I'm like, was I even happy? Mm-hmm. Like how was I actually? I was miserable.
Yeah.
I had like eating disorders. Yeah. I was very unhealthy. I was sad. I mean, all the things that you guys mentioned. And I'm like, that was me like being a quote unquote Christian. Like mm-hmm. I would profess Christ online behind the scenes, did not act like it at all. And I look and I'm like, I was not happy. I was mm-hmm. not joyful. I did not like myself. The enemy constantly was like working in my life and I allowed him.
Yeah.
And like what you were saying in the Bible verse, like, the enemy prowls around like a lion, but also like we have the power to shut the door.
That's right.
Like what doors are we leaving open that allows him to prowl around? Because we have the power to say no in Jesus' name, or we can say, yes, enemy, come on in, do whatever you want. And that's why it's so important of what are we consuming? What doors are we leaving open? Totally. How are we allowing him to prowl around?
And I love what you said about this. You open doors in social media with your music, like where you're surrounding yourself with in nightclubs, like you're opening that door to the enemy. Yeah. And I never knew that before.
I will say music is something that I only this year really, the Lord was speaking to. I remember, so I went to a conference last year and it was the first time that I really ever, not the first time, but it was the first time that I had like an unbearable conviction that I could not get over. I leave it's 2-day conference. I'm there all day. I am so on fire for Jesus. I have the spirit of God living through me. And I get into the car and I turn and it just like turns on the radio. A Cardi B song comes on. I go, oh my God. Like my spirit, I couldn't hear it. I was so sensitive to just a second of it. Totally. I barely heard it.
Yeah.
And then I had another moment a couple months later where I was driving in the car and I was back then I would be like, all right, I'm gonna do half worship, half rap.
We did that. Yeah,
I tried that too.
Yeah, I love rap. Yeah, music.
I'm like Drake and Elevation. We got it, God. He's like, no.
And I was like, and I had a moment where I was listening to some hip hop. I don't know what it was, but I was driving and I heard God be like, turn it off.
Mm.
And I was like, no. And I'm like trying to ignore it. And I would always totally. Do that. I would try to ignore it because I just wanted to listen to the music. And then he's like, turn it off. And I'm like, okay, I put on a worship song and I hear him go, turn it all off.
Mm.
Silence. And I'm like, okay. So I turn off the music and all I hear is, this is going to be the death of you.
Mm.
You can sit here all day long praying, reading the Bible, doing all that you do. And the second you get in the car and you turn this music off on, it all goes out the window and it's all gone. You're filling yourself up with me and then immediately filling yourself up with this garbage.
Mm. Mm. That's so convicting. And that's so good.
Seriously. And then from that moment on, I really tried it. Now I can honestly say I barely ever listen.
Yeah, same. I can't even listen to it. Yeah,
I can't either.
Yeah. Do you know what I noticed after having all these convictions that every time I would listen to hip hop, I would feel provocative within myself.
Yeah.
Like you're more like lustful and
yes,
more like
and just like yeah, you can
cuss
see
more.
Exactly. Yeah. I can see it in my eyes. I can see the way in which I'm moving. Mm. Like it's so subtle and you would never think, but it's so real.
I was just gonna say, like, even though like music, it's so subtle what the enemy does with music, but now music is so blatantly in your face.
Yeah.
Satan.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm like, when did this, like,
the music videos, they're
Sam
like
Smith, Doja
Sam
Cat.
Smith. Like, don't even get me started with Sam Smith.
We can talk about that on y'all's
podcast. Yeah, okay. Nah,
yeah, we'll talk
I'm
about
like,
that.
He's not hiding anymore. Like, they're literally glorifying it, glamorizing it. I'm like,
and everything.
And people think it's funny. I'm like, Satan is not funny.
Yeah.
Like, hell is not funny.
This is, I always say this, if nothing else, what does Satan represent? Darkness, evil, bad,
murder,
lies. He's an accuser.
So, and so we're putting this evil up on the stage. And what message are you putting out? Like, if nothing else, if it's not even spiritual, what is the message?
Like, do you feel better after listening to that? Like, do we genuinely feel better? Do you look at that and you're like, oh my God, I feel like a better person?
Yeah,
probably not.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I guess we've been chit-chatting. Like
we've been on a roll.
We can talk for hours.
I love it.
This is so fun.
I love you guys so
much. I love y'all. So much.
Literally same.
This is amazing. I love this conversation. So you guys, check out now their podcast. Their podcast is coming out on the 27th.
Yeah, so it's going to be a couple
so
days.
So just wait a little bit. We also want to say thank you to Hello Studios for hosting us at their studio.
Thank you.
They did all this for us. So
Shout out
to Taylor. God, if you guys come to Dallas, need a podcast studio, check them out. And now check out their part 2 on Girls Gone Bible.
And get Maddie's book.
Book, yes. And we just pray genuinely this podcast is a blessing to you. Like, we literally got on our hands and knees before this and prayed because we wanted to cover it. Because we know that people may look at us and be like, oh, they're so weird, or like whatever. They're weird.
Jesus but freaks, but whatever.
Yeah, call me Jesus freak. I don't freaking care. Yeah. But like, if it's actually free, care. Let's go, baby. So thank you guys for watching. I'll see you guys again next Tuesday for another episode of Happy and Healthy. We'd love to hear your thoughts on Instagram. Follow all of us and DM us, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. Yeah. So we pray this blesses you, and thank you guys for joining me on my podcast.
We love you guys.
Bless you. Stay happy and healthy. Bye, guys.